DW Africa Link. The decades-long fighting in the Democratic Republic of Congo continues with no end in sight. Since the start of this year alone, the humanitarian emergency has intensified, with thousands of people killed and many more displaced. The Rwanda-backed M23 rebels are advancing further inside eastern DRC after already taking over key provincial capitals of Goma and Bukavu. The latest twist is that the Democratic Republic of Congo's army has denied that 20 fighters linked to the Rwandan genocide had been captured on its territory. Kinshasa called a video of their handover to Rwanda, quote, faked. The statement came after the Rwanda-backed M23 armed group in eastern DRC said over the weekend it had captured fighters from the Democratic Forces for the Liberation of Rwanda, FDLR. That's a militia founded by ethnic Hutus who took part in the genocide of Tutsis in Rwanda in 1994. So how does this affect the relationship between the DRC and Rwanda? And how can the conflict end? That's what's coming up. Stay tuned for an exclusive chat with the spokesperson of Rwanda's government. I am Eddie Micah Jr. and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Rwanda has consistently cited the presence of the FDLR in eastern DRC as its rationale for sympathizing with the M23 rebel group. According to the international community, Rwanda has enabled the M23 to capture significant portions of the DRC's resource-rich eastern region, including strategic cities like Goma and Bukavu. For more on the latest development, let me bring in Yolande Makolo. She's the spokesperson of Rwanda's government. Hello, madam. Welcome to the Africa Link podcast. Can you first describe the relationship between Rwanda and FDLR fighters inside the DRC?
The relationship is that these are actually Rwandans who, or their descendants, who fled to the DRC in 1994 after committing genocide. They have been in the DRC for the last 30 years, and they have been working to come back to Rwanda to finish the job that they started in 1994. It is a group that is extremely violent. They have a genocide ideology that has stayed with them all throughout these years, and they have spread this ideology to the DRC. What this means that they have an anti-Tutsi ideology. They believe that Tutsis should not exist on Earth. This is what they tried to do here, to eliminate all the Tutsis in Rwanda. They killed over a million Tutsis and others who stood in their way. And then when they were defeated in 1994, they fled to the DRC, and they have been there ever since.
Okay. So based on what you're saying, you believe their main aim is somehow to still get into Rwanda and repeat what happened in 1994, the genocide that happened in 1994?
Yeah, it's not just a belief. They have tried many times. After 1994, we had an insurgency in northern Rwanda that came as close as 20 kilometers outside Kigali because they were fighting their way back and wanting to come and finish the job and take over the country. They never accepted that defeat, but we pushed them back. We fought them. We captured very many of them, as we have over the years. But there is still a large group that exists in the DRC. They have stated to various media, including this morning on the BBC, what their aim is. They're still there. They are real. The ideology has persisted. And we saw a group of them being handed over this weekend back to Rwanda. They were captured during the fighting in Goma.
Mm. We will definitely be talking about that part. But you talked about them stating their aim. What is their aim now?
Their aim is to return to Rwanda, to take over the government, and to install their anti-Tutsi ideology, and to make sure that there are no Tutsis left in Rwanda or in the region. They want to install a government based on ethnic extremism. This is something that we will never allow, that we do not believe in. It is what caused the genocide in 1994. We have gotten over that in the last 30 years. Rwandans have worked together on reconciliation and rebuilding our social fabric, we have over 70% of Rwandans currently who are under 30, meaning they were born after genocide. So they do not have that burden of that ethnic extremism, and we do not want it back in this country.
Right. Let's talk about the handover of FDLR fighters, which is the basis of this discussion. Can you tell us more about that? You know, handing over FDLR fighters from inside the DRC, handing them over to Rwanda, and what happens next?
So what happened is a good thing for us, because that means that, especially because one of the persons that was handed over was quite a senior member of the FDLR. He's one of the commanders. I think he was head of the intelligence. This is someone that we have been looking to capture for a long time, to repatriate him and to put him in front of justice for crimes that he committed during the genocide in 1994 and that he continued to commit in the DRC. So it's a good thing. It makes the Eastern DRC safer. The more of the FDLR that are captured and returned to Rwanda makes that area safer for Congolese who live there and for Rwandans who live here and do not want that threat on our border. So these were individuals that were captured during the fighting with M23 that took place recently around Goma area. And they have been handed over to Rwanda. They will all go to demobilization, disarmament, and rehabilitation center that we have in Western Rwanda. Those who have a criminal case to answer will then be handed over to the justice system.
Right. So we're talking about a handover that happened on Sunday, and I believe one of the highest ranking FDLR officials, General Ezekiel Gakwere, is one of the people you're talking about. Accused by international reports of having played an active role in the genocide, as you mentioned earlier. But there are those that are wondering if these people are going to get a fair trial in Rwanda.
They will get a fair trial. They're not the first ones to be put to trial here. We have tried in our conventional courts thousands of genocide suspects. Some have been to various results. Some have been released if they're not able to be convicted, if persecution didn't have a strong enough case. Some were convicted and served sentences. Some have been released after serving their sentences. And more interestingly, countries around the world, in Europe, Canada and the US have sent fugitives back to be tried in Rwanda. The UN that had the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda that tried the masterminds of the genocide has also sent people back here to be tried. So there is no excuse not to have anyone suspected of serious crimes. There's no excuse for them not to be tried here. We have built back our justice system from scratch, and it works for Rwanda. Rwandans trust their justice system, and this is our preferred way of handling these kind of crimes. We do not have a death sentence, death penalty in Rwanda. That was abolished in 2007. So worst case scenario is that whoever is tried for these very serious crimes, including the crime against humanity that is genocide, will get probably a life sentence, depending on how the case turns out.
Right. So what's also interesting is that, Rwanda doesn't have an extradition treaty with the DRC, right? So how is it that M23 rebels backed by Rwanda can just hand over FDLR fighters operating inside the DRC to your country?
What is important for us is these people are handed over back, they're Rwandans, first of all. It's important that they're handed over back to their countries. Those who have no case to answer will be rehabilitated into the community after being demobilized. Those with a case to answer will have to go through our justice system. If there was an extradition treaty, that's fine, but then that's not what's the most important thing.
Doesn't Rwanda want to work with the DRC on this?
We would prefer to work with the government, but the government of the DRC is responsible for sustaining the FDLR all these years. I mean, if they were interested about justice and about security and peace in our region, they would have neutralized this group a long time ago. We have been asking for this repeatedly over the years. So if the DRC government is not only unwilling to hand over these FDLR fighters, but they're actually integrating them into their army, we see this as a hostile force to be neutralized by whatever means that are there. And the fact that they have been captured and those who captured them, handed them over to us, is very much acceptable to us.
So the DRC government denies working with the FDLR fighters against Rwanda. Kinshasa also says that circulating videos of the captured FDLR fighters are fake, right? There was a video suggesting that they were wearing, military uniforms or outfits with the DRC flag on it. They are calling this fake. What is your response to that?
Well, they can say whatever they want to say. It doesn't mean it's true. I mean, the fact that the FDLR is working with the Congolese army and supported by the DRC government is not in question. The DRC government itself agreed in Luanda when we were talking with them last year to neutralize the FDLR. They even drew up together a plan, together with our officials, a CONOPS plan to neutralize the FDLR. This is, de facto an agreement that they do work together and they are present on their soil and they're supported by the DRC. And we know this. And Human Rights Watch, which we... is not friendly to Rwanda, by the way, has written about this and many other organizations. It's something that's out there in the open and it cannot be denied, no matter what they try to say to cover up.
So what went wrong? Why didn't the DRC, as you say, they earlier said they were going to deal with the FDLR, but somehow that didn't work out and tensions between your two countries has just escalated beyond almost, irreparable levels. What happened?
Since at least 2001 and up 2009, there's been various agreements to deal with this issue. Born of the fact that these genocide perpetrators have been given safe haven in the DRC. Over the years, there have been so many agreements signed, so many plans drawn up, the region has been involved. What has been lacking is political will on the part of the DRC to actually implement the plans and the agreements that they sign up to. So with this recent case from last year, it's the same thing again, over and over again. They just do not want to do it. This is because they want to keep the FDLR there. They are interested in their fighting ability. These are very serious fighters. They were involved in the genocide. They've been living in the DRC for a long time, fighting the local communities, spreading their genocide ideology. They're hardcore fighters. The DRC has a very weak army, very corrupt, very mismanaged, and very inefficient army. And they've been shopping around even more intensely in the past year for other forces that will fight M23 for them. This is why you have the FDLR integrated into the army. This is why they mobilized thousands of armed militias called Wazalendo. They armed them and they also integrated them into this fighting coalition. This is why they brought in Sami DRC from the Southern African area to fight for them. And they also had European mercenaries. They recruited European mercenaries. You saw 300 Romanian mercenaries that were repatriated through Rwanda. They were given safe passage through Rwanda from the DRC to return home. Their government took them home. So all these people were there. All these fighters were there in Eastern DRC fighting on behalf of the DRC government. This is what we had to deal with for a long time. And fortunately, this threat has reduced, given that they're no longer directly fighting at our border once Goma fell. And we hope that this is an opportunity to get back on track with the regional solutions. The leaders of our region have gotten together. There is an ongoing African-led peace process that is, it's actually led by the president of Kenya and the president of Zimbabwe, who's now the current head of the Southern African bloc. President Ruto is the chair of the East African bloc. And after a joint summit that happened on 8th of February in Tanzania, they have come up with a plan that was endorsed by the African Union. And this is what we see as the most viable path to peace, to sustainable peace in our region. And everyone should subscribe to this. Rwanda is fully committed to doing our part. And we want our partners in the region and in the international community to support this African-led process. Right. And to also compel the DRC to this time stick to the commitments that we all signed up to in this new African-led plan.
Right. I mean, you say that Rwanda is committed to, bringing peace to the DRC and the region as a whole. But can we at least understand that, in the process of supporting the M23 rebel group, right? Rwanda supporting the M23 rebel group, since the start of this year alone, thousands of people have been killed. Many more have been displaced. Does Rwanda take any responsibility for that at all?
First of all, the numbers that are being put out of people who have died are either false or misleading. These are numbers that are being put out by MONUSCO or NGOs working in Eastern DRC. They are not verified, and they're being pushed through by the DRC propaganda machine. A lot of the deaths that happened, it was not 3,000 or even 7,000, it was much less from what we know, were mostly fighters. They're mostly FDLR and FRDC, that's the Congolese army, and other militias that were fighting the M23. There have been too many lives lost in this region from 1994, including the more than 1 million people who died here during the genocide. So even one more innocent life is too much. This is why we need to stick to what has been agreed in the peace processes that we have been discussing for years and years. The responsibility for any deaths, including even the fighters, belongs to the DRC that has been hell-bent on a military solution. There has been on the table a political solution put forward by the region. The DRC continues to violate all the actions that have been agreed and all the agreements that we've been signed. So any deaths that occur during this process are solidly the responsibility of the DRC that is not interested in political dialogue and a sustainable political solution.
Rwanda is also supporting a rebel group that, again, right, has seized swaths of the DRC's troubled east in recent weeks. That includes the key provincial capitals of Goma and Bukavu. And again, whether we agree or disagree on the numbers put up by the UN, still a number of people, a large number of people have been killed, many more displaced. You cannot be telling me now that all the blame is on the DRC and Rwanda takes no responsibility for it. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying, because we understand what the M23 is fighting for. The M23 rebels come from a community of Congolese Tutsi in Eastern DRC that have been systematically persecuted over decades, to the extent that they've taken up arms. So we understand what they are fighting for, because they're fighting the same enemy that we have fought for a long time. This is the FDLR genocidal militias that are supported by their own government to kill their own Congolese civilians. We have been hosting Congolese refugees here for more than 25 years. We have over 100,000 Congolese Tutsi refugees. Uganda has even many more. The refugees scattered over this region because they're not able to go home safely, because their families have been killed, their properties have been destroyed, their villages have been burnt. These refugees need to go back home in safety and in dignity. They're here with us, and we see them. And some of the fighters, actually, who are involved in that rebel group, grew up in refugee camps in Rwanda. And for them, this is their last option to regain a home and a dignified life. So they're willing to fight for that. So we understand that. When it comes to supporting 23, the DRC, again, because of its weak and mismanaged army and this ragtag coalition that they've put together, every time they lose a battle on the ground, they abandon all their very expensive equipment that they've accumulated over the years. And the M23 is able to acquire these. So the DRC is actually the number one supporter of the M23 when it comes to weapons. They do not need us to support them with that.
But you are supporting the M23 rebel groups.
We understand and sympathize with the cause that they're fighting for. But the groups that are responsible for the most atrocities in Eastern DRC, and you can look this up on the UN statistics, is actually the DRC security forces. The police and the army are responsible for the most violation against civilians in that part of the world. There's no fighting happening right now. The M23 and their alliance, their coalition, the Congo River Alliance, have captured parts of North and South Kivu. There's an agreement right now on cessation of hostilities, which Rwanda supports, so that we can have more humanitarian access, so that civilians can be taken care of, those who need help, and then to allow for this peace process to happen. This is what we are supporting right now.
Mm. So just to have it on record, as a spokesperson of Rwanda's government, does Rwanda have actual troops on the ground in DRC regarding this fighting?
What we have along our border are defensive measures that are necessary to protect our borders and to keep our people safe. We have had this activated for years, because for a couple of years now, because of the hostile forces that were accumulated along our border. So these defensive measures will only be lifted once we are sure that there will be no cross-border spillover of the fighting. And this is the time to ensure that this is done so that we can relax those defensive measures and keep our people safe and continue on our path for development, which is what we want to focus on. Rwanda's economic ambitions and our interests are better served by peace and not by conflict. What is happening in Eastern DRC is a distraction. It is very bad for the plans that we have for economy and for all the things that we want to do with our people to uplift their well-being and to progress, to continue to progress as we have done in the last 30 years.
What's the end game for Rwanda and M23 rebel fighters now?
What we want is a sustainable peace and security in this region. And the way to get there is through this African-led process that I'm talking to you about. The Luanda process and Nairobi process have been merged into one process, meaning that we have agreed that there will be cessation of hostilities, that there will be humanitarian access, that the FDLR will be neutralized, that Rwanda will then be able to lift our defensive measures, and that there will be political dialogue with all the armed groups, including M23, to listen to their grievances and make sure that they're addressed so that we have a sustainable solution to this crisis that has affected our region and our countries for way too long.
What is your message to the DRC and indeed, you know, countries in the region and the African Union even, on eventually measures to be taken to bring about the long-awaited peace?
When it comes down to it, Rwandans deserve to live in peace without a threat of a genocidal force, the ethnic extremism in Eastern DRC that continues to be a security threat for us. We deserve to live in peace. We want to live in peace within Rwanda and with our neighbors. I'm sure that people of the DRC also want this, and their government should be able to provide this. And the way to do that is through this ongoing African-led mechanism that is that has outlined the way to do that. The steps have already started. The technical teams have met. The chiefs of defense forces met in Nairobi and agreed on what to do next. We'll have probably this week a meeting of the ministers of defense and foreign affairs to take this plan further and also flesh out the actions that need to be taken. Rwanda has participated in every one of those meetings, and we intend to continue to do that and to keep our part of the bargain, because we want peace more than anyone else in this conflict.
And as things stand, do you find DRC is on the same page, seeking peace with Rwanda?
No, I think the president seems to get more belligerent as the days go by. He has skipped two very important summits with the other African leaders, the one that happened in Tanzania, and he chose to go to the Munich Security Conference in Germany instead of coming to the African Union to discuss with his peers this crisis and where the African-led process was endorsed in his absence. From his pronouncements, he continues to use very inflammatory language. He continues to say that he will not talk to the M23. And we know that he continues to seek ways to continue on down the military path that nobody wants except him. The region has agreed that there's no military solution to this crisis. We agreed that the only solution to this is political. Rwanda is committed to that. We want the DRC to also be committed to that, because that's the only way to make this work.
Yolande Makolo, spokesperson for Rwanda's government. Thank you very much, madam, for your time.
Thank you.
Now, the escalating conflict in Eastern DRC has raised fears it could spiral into a wider regional war, drawing in countries like Rwanda, Uganda, and other countries. The African Union Peace and Security Council, AUPSC, has convened emergency meetings to address the crisis in Eastern DRC, calling for an end to hostilities. These meetings have led to the deployment of fact-finding missions and calls for enhanced peacekeeping efforts. The AU also supports regional mediation processes like the Luanda and Nairobi processes, which aim to facilitate dialogue between the DRC government and armed groups. Experts say a blended approach of security measures, diplomatic negotiations, and structural reforms could not only help stop the current violence, but also could lay the groundwork for a stable and inclusive future in the region. But of course, action will always speak louder than words. So what do you think? Please share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. And hey, don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.